Back together again with you, chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, July 9th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. Had some audio from Connecticut Democratic U.S. Senator Chris Murphy's X account that seemed to place some of the blame for last week's deadly flood deaths in Texas squarely at the feet of the Trump White House. Did Senator Murphy go too far? Connecticut State Republican Party Chair Ben Proto stopped by to offer his thoughts on Senator Murphy's statements. And Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Haar had his thoughts about the big tax implications of a massive White House tax and spending bill recently signed into law by President Trump. So it's not often that I pick up on a second day of a lead topic from the day before, but I'm going to do that today. Now, you may recall yesterday I started out the show wondering where the state of our politics is or how we got here to where both sides of the equation, Democrats on the left, Republicans on the right, can't just, for a lot of people on both sides, can't just shut their pie hole, can't just shut up, can take a wad of freshly laundered sock and put it in their mouths and bite down on it. Because again, I guess we have to take every little freaking bit of a chance to make a point. Now, to that end, I come in today and I'm laying out the show and saying, hey, what am I going to lead with? Well, you know what I'm going to lead with? Exactly what I led with yesterday, because we have a concrete example, and it comes from guess who? You just knew that this guy couldn't help himself, to the point where people in the national media are literally telling him to shut up. Is it Jim Himes, who Melissa had on this morning? No. Is it Richard Blumenthal? No. It is, you've got it, Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy is becoming an unserious individual. The worst thing you can become in politics is a clown. And Chris Murphy is, you know what Chris Murphy's doing? He's knocking on the clown door. Now, there is hope, Senator. Step away from the clown buffet, because you're getting ripped to shreds for this. And what do I mean? I'm going to play this for you. I want you to listen to this carefully. Even if you're a Chris Murphy voter, even if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democratic voter, you have to wince at this. Because one of the worst things any politician can do on either side is make something political while people are still grieving. Can you both, on both sides of the aisle, shut up? I don't know how you do this. Bite down on a towel, stick your fingers in your mouth, I don't know. But shut up. But apparently, Chris Murphy can't do that. And by the way, listen to what he does. This is going to run about 2 minutes, so bear with it. I know nausea may kick in when we get to about two and a half minutes, so I'll dump out of it. No, I'm not going to dump out of it. I'm going to play the whole freaking thing. And I want you to listen to this. And then I have a rebuttal from a national media person who looked at this and said, you have got to be kidding me, Chris Murphy. And this person is far, far from a conservative. So here's Chris Murphy walking right up to that line because he wants to be president. We all know that. So Chris Murphy, ba-dum, 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 oh, there's the line. I'll walk right up to it, but I won't cross it. This is the worst of the worst of the worst, what he said right here.
The scope of devastation in Texas is just hard to get your head wrapped around. As I record this, over 100 people are dead from these floods. There's still over 150 people who are missing. This is obviously a moment to focus on search and rescue, but we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't ask some really hard questions right now. Listen, what we know is that the National Weather Service, in both of the offices that were responsible for this area, had extraordinarily high vacancy rates. There were a lot of people that were supposed to be working at those offices that weren't, and that's due to Donald Trump's assault on federal workers. In particular, there was one really important position that was unfilled due to a Trump policy. That was the person in charge of coordinating warnings about weather emergencies. We also know that FEMA has been under assault. during this period of time, as well as Donald Trump seeks to destroy and eliminate FEMA, which also has a responsibility to help prevent disasters like this, or at least make sure that the fewest number of casualties occur after a disaster like this happens. The fact of the matter is, it's possible,
That
Donald Trump's policies had something to do with the level of death and destruction
something
in Texas.
To do with
this
it.
Was an exceptional weather event.
Yeah, there's it was.
No question there were going to be deaths, but did there have to be as many as there were? These are questions we have to get answered.
Oh, we have questions.
First, to have accountability for this moment, but also to make sure that when the next weather disaster occurs,
you mean it'll happen
that
again?
We don't potentially repeat the same mistakes. Donald Trump has said that he wants to destroy FEMA. He is
FEMA comes
cutting
in afterwards.
Important positions out of the National Weather Service. We have said from the beginning that there will be consequences to the safety of this country if Donald Trump destroys FEMA, if Donald Trump stops the work of predicting weather disasters.
Nobody's doing that.
These questions answered so that we can save as many lives as possible during the next weather emergency.
Meantime, that is just the worst of the worst right there. That is gutter politics right there. Meantime, all the people affiliated with the National Weather Service and NOAA for the past 2 or 3 days, I've been following this, they're all saying, no. The warnings went out. This was sadly a bad timing thing. Now, again, if new info comes out, I'll bring it to you. But at least one member of the national media heard Chris Murphy and basically said on his show, "Are you kidding me, Chris Murphy?" And no, this person is not a far right winger. We'll give you what they said coming up straight ahead. All right, so our junior U.S. Democratic Senator, Chris Murphy, is at it again. He wants to be president in the worst way. He's looking all macho now. He's got a beard. He walks around the state. He's got Agumad on the side. All right, good. Good on him. He's in the Senate. I'll never get there. Okay? Does it mean you can't question White House policies? No, I'm not saying that at all. But can you wait a little bit? Chris, stop. You're embarrassing yourself. We won't forget the hundreds of people likely killed by this and the hundreds who had to be had to be rescued here and those that were still looking for. And by the way, Senator, and I guess he recorded this last night, did you read any of the news reports that are now saying the fault here is likely with local officials who apparently, surprise, what do I say, folks, wait a few days before you draw judgment on this, who apparently didn't buy a warning system for that area of the River Valley because it would have cost too much money. That's dumb. You want to talk about Trump with it? Okay, you can, but can you wait a week? My God, the bloodlust from these people. Well, thankfully, Chris Cuomo on News Nation, again, no angel him either, but thank you, Chris Cuomo, for saying what thousands of us in Connecticut have wanted to say on a national basis. Not so much about Mr. Blumenthal, because he usually acts like a statesman here, but man, the Chris Murphy thing. Thank you last night to Chris Cuomo when he commented on what Mr. Murphy posted.
Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, I've been trying to get him on the show. Now I don't want him. Accurate weather forecasting helps avoid fatal disasters. That's what you say? There are consequences to attacking meteorologists? You really believe that that's what this was about? You really think that's what your constituents want? For you to take a cheap shot at dead kids to score points against Trump? Wow. And guess what? The union for the National Weather Service, and they've been critical of Trump's cuts, and I'm not saying there's not reason for criticism, but it's about perspective. The union says there was adequate staff at the time in Texas, and meteorologists are not faulting the National Weather Service. They're noting that they began to escalate the flood warnings as much as 12 hours in advance of the floods. So shut up, Murphy. We have to see that the interests of the many are being held hostage by the obsessions of the few on both sides. They are killing us.
Thank you, Chris Cuomo. On News Nation, I have a dear friend of mine who works with Chris Cuomo, and they get along well. Good group there, she says, at News Nation. So there you go. Now, we're getting a number of rather colorful responses to our Facebook question of the day. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, talk or text. And the question's there. Senator Murphy is suggesting, now he goes right up to that line, and then he steps back.
Well, you never know, we have to ask tough questions.
He's suggesting that Trump policies may have had something to do with this. Do you agree? And again, like I say, there's nothing wrong with suggesting this. But see, Chris Murphy knows from the point of a politician, you need to strike while the iron is hot. So once, sadly, we see these burials that'll take place, then it'll fade from memory. Then they won't care, because they can't use it as a political wedge against Donald Trump. But thank you, Chris Cuomo, for telling Chris Murphy, at least in this case, Senator, with all due respect, shut up. For at least a week, can any of these people just shut the F up? My God, one of the two or three times that I got the greatest advice, dear friends sat me down in an office and say, first of all, you need to shut the F up and listen instead of run your yap. I still joke about it with somebody who told me that. Rich in Fairfield kicks us off today at 224. Rich, how are you, sir?
Kudos to you. You're right on topic the last 10 minutes. Glad you played that segment with our junior senator.
And then Chris Cuomo telling him to shut up.
Yeah, who's not my favorite person, but he's right on. I give him credit, too. You know, I called a few weeks ago when we got a little chuckle out of it, and he asked me how I really feel. And I made a commentary at that time that, I found that after dealing years ago with Chris Murphy, that he was a foolish, hysterical, mealy-mouthed political hack. And this is just fodder for the gristmill. And you know what? He's right about Donald Trump is right about one thing. FEMA has always been unnecessary. Federal emergency, the key word is management, okay? Mm-hmm. There's the key word. When there's a crisis, they send some big mouth know-it-all down there, a bureaucrat. They don't bring in any special heavy-duty equipment. They bring another layer of bureaucracy to get in the way of the local state and county and town who normally do a great job.
Yeah.
And, well, let's wait and see. But I think you also hit the nail on the head here. And again, kudos to you for this whole 10 minutes that you're right about everything. They're going to find out that they don't want to spend a lousy $1 million after that 1987 fiasco where I think 35 or 40 got killed in the same spot in the same way that would have warned these people. And it's going to turn out to be, unfortunately, just a terrible coincidence of timing. These kids were sleeping.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's the middle of the night when it turned into a nightmare.
And apparently, Rich, thank you. I do have to run, my friend. I'm up against the time-wise. Thank you for the kind words, Rich. Appreciate it. And apparently, this other county in Texas, they're saying now, and maybe I have special info like, geez, I don't know, in the media that Chris Murphy doesn't have. this other county in Texas, I guess, that put in this kind of warning system, they say the system the other day functioned flawlessly. So anyway,
shut up, Murphy.
Oh, easy, Chris. Ben Proto's here, State Republican Party Chair. Ben, good afternoon. How are you? Just when you think, Ben, it can't get any more crazier, it just does. It certainly does, doesn't it?
Well, hey, Paul, and thanks for having me on today. I hope you're all doing well and had a good fourth holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the better gift for Connecticut Republicans is right now, Chris Murphy or William Tong. Chris Murphy simply can't help himself. I get, he wants to figure out how to move up, in the pecking order in the Democrat Party, and that he thinks that this is the way, to do this is, to take a tragedy, to basically tell lies about the tragedy, which is really, I think, the worst part about this. you know, and I love how he says, how, you know, now is about search and rescue, and now is about thinking about these people. But we're going to put all that aside, and we're going to go play politics with it. And you know, the reality of the situation is, it's a tragedy, right? I think we can all agree on that. There's 150, you know, or more people dead, many of them young girls, you know, children, families wiped out, you know, and you sit there and you say, somewhere along the line, the system broke down.
Sure.
There's no, right? The system broke down. Somehow the system broke down. Did it break down completely? Did it break down a little bit? Is there a way it could have been fixed? Or was just this a situation where this situation came about so quickly, so fast, that it didn't matter what we had in place, this was going to happen and this tragedy was going to occur. And that's you know, a sad part. But to sit here and start assigning blame to the president of the United States, regardless of what party that president is in, when a natural disaster happens like this, and it happens in the speed that it does, basically says to me, you don't care about the victims. You don't care about what happened. You don't care about the system. You know, you're taking the Rahm Emanuel. Don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing. He's sitting here going, we got a crisis. You know, the whole world is you know, very upset because, look, it's just, you know, these are children, right?
Sure.
We're talking about children, and in particular, little girls who were swept away in raging floodwaters that tugs at every person's heartstring. I don't care who it is. And so to sit there and say, I'm going to tug at those heartstrings even more by pointing to a big bad man who did this and blame that big bad man for this, when in fact he had nothing to do with it. It wasn't the federal government's fault. You know, there's and you, I just want to look at Chris and, you know, Chris, be better than this.
And Ben, listen, be better, you know, and
represent the people of Connecticut who put you in this very important position, and find a way to solve problems, not make problems bigger, or not create problems that don't exist simply so you can gain political clout.
I mean, and Ben, on the positive end of it, you're right. Maybe, you know, if everybody would keep, you know, would just calm down, let the families grieve, let's get through this. And then in 2 or 3 months, let Senator Murphy and Mr. Blumenthal, whoever, come out, hold a news conference, say, you know what, we analyzed what happened in Texas, and we have a better idea to make sure that this never happens again, whatever, better systems. You can get your point across, and you don't look like you're hovering over a dead body. I mean, it's mind-boggling, Ben. It is.
Oh, but what that requires, Paul, is it requires you to actually put ideas out there and to, you know, and think about this. You know, and I've said this, you know, time and again, that if Donald Trump came out today and was standing outside and said, what a beautiful blue sky, Chris Murphy would look at him and go, are you nuts? It's yellow, right? And just to be contrarian, everything that Donald Trump has done, they have disagreed with. But what's the one thing they haven't done in their disagreement? Offered an alternative idea to it.
Better idea.
Right? They haven't offered it. Whether it's a better idea or not, they haven't offered any alternative. They just want to criticize and make stuff up and fearmonger, because if you put another idea out there, you are now opening yourself up to that same criticism that you get to impart on the president and the Republicans in Washington who are actually doing the job for which they were elected, and you are not.
Good thoughts, Ben. Ben, thank you. Appreciate your piercing thoughts on this, as usual. Have a happy weekend, and I'm sure we'll be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Paul. Good talking to you.
All right, there you go. Ben Proto, a longtime political buddy of mine, chairman of the state Republican Party. Yes, politics and money. What else is there? Well, wine women in song, wine men in song, who knows? But the two big topics as I see them here for Connecticut statewide, a possible challenger to Governor Ned Lamont, and oh, salt, we're not talking about the table spice. Dan Haar is here, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior columnist and editor. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing okay.
Now, last week, we had alluded to this briefly before Mr. Trump put his signature to this, and he has signed that so-called Big Beautiful Bill. And as you've been pointing out, there are a lot of people in Connecticut, although they may not be a fan of Mr. Trump and may bristle at stuff in the other stuff in the bill. There is a big tax implication here, correct, sir?
Well, it's a positive tax implication for the state. There's a very big tax implication in the continuation of the tax cuts, of course.
Yeah.
And that's worth billions of dollars to people in Connecticut, largely but not entirely the rich. And I think the Democrats are hurting themselves by saying that these are tax cuts for the rich. They're mostly but not entirely. In any case, yes, the SALT tax deduction we can talk about. And that is the deduction for state and local taxes, which some 700,000 taxpayers took in 2018 or 2017 when it was looked at, and the average SALT deduction was $19,000, right? So just putting it in plain, without getting into a lot of numbers and you know, crunching math here, the bottom line is if you live in Connecticut and you live in a nice house and you have a good job, between you and your spouse or partner, and if you file jointly, if you're making between $130,000 or $140,000 and up, you are paying more than $10,000 in state and local taxes.
Mm.
And if you are higher in if you're not taking the standard deduction, which has gone up to about $30,000 as a couple or $15,000 for an individual, if you are itemizing, you are being hurt typically $1,000 and up by the lack of the ability to take the SALT deduction since 2019 under the previous Trump tax reform.
So now, though, I would imagine this is going to make a lot of people happy. So things get better for people as if they can do this, correct? If they have a sufficient enough deduction up to and including $40,000?
Yes, and it phases down if you're making more than $500,000. It appears to not distinguish between individuals and couples, joint filers, $500,000. I'm not a tax lawyer, and so I glanced at it, but it, you know, this stuff is getting harder and harder to follow from when we were kids.
Yeah.
But in any case, yes, the short answer is that, yes, it's a big benefit to a large number of people, but that benefit is diminished by the existence of the larger standard deduction.
Mm.
So, for example, if your deductions, even with state and local taxes, look, the big four for deductions are mortgage interest, local property taxes, state income taxes, and charitable donations. There are others, but those are the big four. And so if those four of yours and you're a joint filer don't add up to more than $30,000, then this change doesn't affect you. It's only for people who are either single, more than $15,000, or jointly more than $30,000. And so we don't know whether that's a lot of people. It was a lot of people when the standard deduction was lower.
Yeah.
We think it's still a lot of people, but we don't know that.
Dan Haar is with us, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Dan, you, something else you and I touched on briefly last week, and we've been kind of talking about this back and forth, a possible challenge to Governor Ned Lamont. Now, he has not said technically yet, no matter how you guys, including you, Dan Haar, push the governor on this, he has not been forthcoming as to whether he's definitely running or not. He keeps saying that that announcement is coming, telling everybody to cool their jets. But now you've got a guy like Josh Elliott, successful state lawmaker, caused a longtime lawmaker to drop out of the race, 2016, I think, Brendan Sharkey. And now he's put the paperwork in.
The speaker, not just the longtime.
That's
the speaker.
Right.
He was the sitting speaker.
Yeah, I remember that. And a lot of us were like, whoa, I was working in Hamden at the time. And a lot of us were like, wow, how about this? So Josh Elliott, very successful guy. He's the voice for the left of the party. Dan, what happens if Ned Lamont says, no, I've had enough? What happens?
Well, then sometime within 3 and 10 seconds after that, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz gets into the race, and we think Attorney General William Todd gets into the race, but that's not so clear. He may decide to wait 2 years. If he thinks that Richard Blumenthal, Senator Richard Blumenthal, is going to retire at the young age of 83 or 81 or whatever he's going to be, I think it's 83, in 2028, then he may wait or he may not wait. He's running for governor right now. Bicewicz and Tong are out there talking to delegates right now.
Yeah.
We know that.
Wow.
Right? So what will immediately happen is they will get in. Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin will get in immediately. He also is not likely to face Lamont he's not likely to square off in a primary against Lamont, although it's not, that's possible, I suppose. It's not likely.
Yeah.
So those three will get in, and certainly maybe other people, but also depending on what everyone else does, Sean Scanlon, who has the advantage of a young age, may get in, or he may decide to wait it out. It depends what happens. But if Lamont stays in, those people I just mentioned will not run. And Josh Elliott is saying he will run. But we don't know, by the way, we don't know from the news stories that have been written so far. And I haven't talked to Josh. I talked with him a couple of weeks ago when he was exploring the exploration. But he hasn't since he's now publicly exploring.
Yeah.
Now, remember, he appears to have not filed an exploratory. He filed for a committee, not exploratory. Right. So what that means is that he's either in or out for governor. And so he is exploring informally.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, you're always exploring, right? But we're going to know more Monday at 1 p.m. at Hamden, I think, was it town hall or one of the schools that he's making an announcement. And so we'll know more. But the long and the short of it is that he is a serious challenge. He's not a challenge that, in my opinion, is going to actually beat the governor in a primary.
Yeah.
But he's going to create a great conversation. And who knows what can happen? We have a federal corruption trial scheduled to start in the fall, which we will be talking about, Mr. Diamantis. Who knows what's going to come out? And who knows whether the governor will change his mind, in which case Josh Elliott looks like Bill Clinton in 92 as the one guy who decided to face the popular incumbent.
And again, and I know there was, I know Eric Adams is now on his own tangent running independently, but who's to say that, and he's probably already doing it, Dan, who's to say Josh Elliott or anybody else with the looks and the age and the message cannot take the blueprint from Mr. Mamdani in New York and try to replicate that here? Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I like Josh Elliott. Josh Elliott is a friend of mine. Josh Elliott is not Mamdani. I don't think he has that. We'll see. I think he was a great candidate in the lead up to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take it to a primary for Secretary of the State. He had great ideas.
Yeah.
He had one of the better, if not the best, presentation before the delegates.
Wow.
And don't hold me to this. He either was close or he, I don't remember whether he had the delegates to primary, but he didn't primary. And in any case, he's a guy who has a lot of really good ideas, right? I don't know that he's a guy who can light the state on fire the way Mamdani did with the city. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't know that what Mamdani did is a good thing for the city. But that said, we're going to find out more on Monday about how serious he is about staying in. And he's certainly serious about the governor needing a challenge from the left because he's upset about what the governor has done.
Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, as always, thank you. And we'll chat next week. Thank you, sir.
Yes, we will. A pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. So how about that?